You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello, welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is the 7th of December, 2023, and this is Matthew Raphael Johnson, again hosting alone, hopefully something that will end very soon. Don't forget Sven, we miss him very much. Send him whatever assistance you can. It's been a while since I dealt with Argentina. I did a fairly lengthy lecture on how they actually won the War of the Falklands in 1982. I think I mentioned them. Of course, I have a book out on the 20th century military governments in Latin America. But today I want to talk about Javier Milei. This all got started because a few people were talking to me about him and were promoting him, largely on the grounds that his enemies are evil and wrong, which for the most part is true, but that in and of itself doesn't suggest or show or prove that he is one of us. He is not. On November 19th, Milei very suspiciously won the runoff elections in Argentina against Sergio Massa. They're both economists. But what made it interesting is that he's received enthusiastic endorsements from Donald Trump and even Tucker Carlson. But that enthusiasm is one of the things that marks a big difference between conservatives and nationalists. The press always conflates those terms, calling him a right-wing populist, which is in their malice and their ignorance. He is no friend of ours, despite appealing to the Beltway right wing. Massa, at least, is an experienced economist. He's fairly well known. Milei is an academic, among many other things. And like so many other claims, you know, they're talking about IMF austerity to an extreme extent, and he certainly is, and the eternal justification down there is to reduce inflation, which as of now is somewhere between 140 and 170%. One of the more radical things he wants to do is eliminate the Argentinian currency and simply use the American dollar. We've been talking about that long before there was any election. Now, it hasn't been that long since the Argentinian economy collapsed from roughly 2000-2002 for a very similar reason, because Carlos Menem dollarized, as we say, the country in 1991 with a 1-to-1 peg to the dollar, again, to fight inflation, as promoted by the International Monetary Fund in Washington and in New York. But that was just a rhetorical justification. But pure dollarization is simply not an indirect, but a direct form of economic colonization, since the currency would be entirely controlled by a foreign and often hostile set of banks. Same thing happened in Ecuador since around the same time, 2000, fully dollarized their economy. It caused the collapse of Argentina. The liberal president of Ecuador, Mahuad, however you pronounce it, Jamil, under pressure, from Washington and the IMF dollarized that country entirely. Again, fighting inflation. Ecuador is an oil-based economy. About half of her export earnings come from it. But it is entirely controlled by American-based oil firms and banks. Ever since Ecuador introduced that measure, their economy has been totally enslaved to Western banks and is permanently in crisis mode. Because of this dependency on the U.S., Ecuador's politicians are easily manipulated. But Argentina, too, has tremendous natural resources. It also has a well-educated population. She is a white European country. It's not like Bolivia. And once that 2000-2002 depression ended, and there was some fairly substantial recovery, yet again, Mauricio Macri, whose rule ended in very late 2019, transferred the wealth of the country, not to the labor that created it, but to the IMF and Wall Street and to the hedge funds. It's very strange that Argentinians would be accepting this now for the third time under the same pretext. Now, prior to that, of course, there were attempts to de-dollarize, encouraged by China, which is, by the way, Argentina's second largest trading partner after Brazil. So the new president, who's actually going to be inaugurated in 3 days, will alienate the Chinese. Argentina is part of the Southern Common Market, Mercosur. Brazil, of course, is the dominant trading partner of Argentina. And then China, the USA, India, Chile, Paraguay, and Germany. Mercosur is a trade bloc founded in 1991. Full members are Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, Uruguay. Venezuela is under suspension from late 2016, which will show you the power of the United States in this organization. And you have associate countries, you know, Bolivia, Chile, Ecuador, Guyana, Peru, Suriname, and the collapse, the Argentinian collapse of 2001 did weaken the organization. The Mercosur usually trades in mostly dollars, but sometimes euros. Now, despite that, the largest investor, direct investor in Argentina is the U.S., like $13 billion as of last year, agricultural manufacturing, oil, communications, etc. Since 2021, there's been an increase, almost 4%, suggesting that dollar dependency is increasing, which means that dollars flood the country, artificially generating an inflationary spiral. Strangely, though, Argentina is also a part of BRICS. In the August 2023 summit in South Africa that I talked about, it's one of the six new members. And it's January 1st, where they're going to be a full member, part of the Belt and Road, too. Certainly, this president, who rejects these institutions, Milei completely rejects BRICS and everything else, is certainly something the regime wanted to see in Latin America. The same measures that brought that country to depression twice in the past will be pushed again, somehow thinking that the American economy is something to attach your economy to. The U.S. economy is devolving at a rapid pace. And Argentina, yet again, will go into another depression. Again, it's hard to believe that they're so amnesiac. The elections are more than a little suspicious. I think vote fraud was involved. Same thing in Brazil. Milei's party, in the legislative elections, just a few years ago, 2021, he barely cracked 15%. And did even worse in the primaries. And of course, there were no exit polls, which is quite convenient. The Americans have been faking elections forever, so their methods by now are fairly complex. But as we speak right now, Argentina is in another depression. This is a regular thing. Now, the first round of voting, Milei got about something like 30% of the vote. As I mentioned, then second round, final round, he gets 55%. Now, I don't know if Dominion was there or not. I think Dominion does have some machines down there. But given the fact that there is yet another dollarizing base depression, Milei was still elected. He had trailed his opponent, the Peronist. If you get my book on the topic on Latin America, you can grasp what that might be. As I said, 30% to 36%. And then a huge turnaround of 56% to 44%. That's a little more than surprising. Now, what a lot of us do, and not just from his appearance either, but look up to see whether he's Jewish. Well, I found a lot. Some of his successes, there's no doubt in my mind, come from the fact that he is very close to the Chabadniks. He claims to read the Torah, which is probably part of the Talmud, every day. And he has visited the grave of Menachem Schneerson, putting him thus under the thumb of Chabad, and then putting the media in a strange position. Now, prior to the election, he said that he was going to convert to Talmudic Judaism, but said that the Sabbath could pose a problem, given the day of the week, which I think is a terrible reason and probably a false one. But still, now that he's elected, he will convert. That goes far to explaining his success. In fact, it only makes sense with that. So, you know, this may be a more sophisticated version of regime control, kind of an inverted color revolution, promoting a media-hated, faux populist leader to promote a deceptive agenda that sounds nationalist, but contains many hidden meanings and very strange coincidences. Now, when you consider his behavior, you know, he wants to bring the IMF in. He wants to abolish the central bank, which I'll get to here in a minute. Total dollarization. But his personality is something else. A German writer named Ploppa, no kidding, said that he exudes the charisma of a vacuum cleaner salesman who uses cocaine and alcohol to get the most out of himself. You've seen, I think most of my listeners have seen, him waving around the chainsaw with his name on it, dancing around, yelling. He uses these fake dollar bills with his face on it, American dollar bill with his face on it, that rain down onto the crowd like a Van Halen concert. He wants to blow up the central bank. He dances around. He wears these superhero costumes. He did this dervish dance on stage when he won the election. They call him the Whig, La Pelusia, because of his hair. Uses sub-proletarian jargon. And, of course, he hates Pope Francis for being liberal, but unfortunately, there's a lot more to that story, too. It sounds like, with this kind of stuff, that an American PR firm is paying for a lot of this. There's really no precedent for this behavior in Argentina. It sounds like something coming out of New York City. His crazy dancing, his screaming, singing, superhero costumes, and singing at the same time. Either he has a substantial problem, eccentricity is not a huge problem, but or it could be a neurotic way of dealing with the fact that he is the tool of the United States, and he most certainly is. It also may come from the fact that he's an academic. Academics tend to be a little weirder and more eccentric. But then he calls himself an anarcho-capitalist, which has got to be a tongue-in-cheek thing. It's got to be a joke, because people who actually believe that kind of thing would reject the state, which has to exist in a very strong way to enforce these policies, and would reject any intervention by the IMF or anyone else like that. If you've seen some video clips from his campaign talking about, you know, the chainsaw, I think has something to do with him wanting to abolish ministries like the Ministry of Culture and stuff like that, singing about it and yelling into microphones about it. He wants to privatize broadcasting, which I think most of you know exactly what that would mean. In other words, giving away the country's radio, TV, etc. to Western leftists. He even wants to trade in human organs so long as the market economy is followed. And yes, he did say that. Do you remember 2016, the regime promoted these libertarian weirdos, Johnson and Weld. And of course, nothing that they said would be accepted by any normal libertarian, but they wanted to take votes away from Trump. No one ever questioned them about their absolutely a total lack of connection to libertarian ideology, which is, you know, at least the way it's normally promoted, is nonsensical, especially for the developing world. Now, Argentina is a first world country, but given three depressions in fairly recent memory, that may be history. And then he goes on to say that his, I don't remember precisely when he said this, probably during the campaign, his first trip, once elected, is going to be to the USA, and the second one is going to be to Israel. Now, I'm not so sure why he felt it necessary to tell people where he was going to take his trips once elected, but, well, he's already been to the United States. Now, this so-called anarcho-capitalist used to work for the HSBC Bank in some weird capacity as an advisor to the Argentinian government. He was the chief economist at the America International Corporation, which is interesting because it's one of these cash cows of the Argentinian state. It's an airport operator. And by the way, as several have noticed, a partner company of the World Economic Forum. This man is a part of the Great Reset. Now, the president of that firm, Eduardo Yunakian, which is an Armenian name, multi-billionaire, was the first one to really push Milei and brought him into politics. And not a few people have noted how similar that is to Zelensky in Ukraine, who both from the United States as well as from Kolomoisky kind of brought him into politics as a previous nobody. In fact, everyone I've mentioned is Jewish. The conversion to Judaism, and not just Judaism, the hardcore Talmudic Shabbat version is extremely telling. How would that even be an issue? Why would he make a big deal about that? Alberto Fernandez, who is Millet's predecessor. Millet himself is listed by the World Economic Forum as a contributor. He has consistently represented their positions in the past and continues to do so. His rhetoric may be different. Like, for example, he was initially against forced vaccination, right? You don't have to be a libertarian to be opposed to that. But then, in the midst of the make-believe COVID thing, he demanded mandatory vaccination. Of course, he's totally on the side of Zelensky and the Ukrainian debacle, and doesn't think that the Israelis are going hard enough on Hamas. And apparently all of this is perfectly consistent with anarcho-capitalism that kind of makes him sound eccentric. He even sometimes uses social conservatism to mobilize the majority of the Brazilian population, which is no doubt a anti-liberal or at least a conservative religiously and socially group of people. But then says he, given his own self-identification, I'm not sure how he can act on any of them. He is indifferent to various lifestyle liberal choices that are forced on us by the regime. And of course, this campaign took place at a time of stress, yet another depression. As of right now, about half the population in Argentina are dependent on some form of welfare payment. 40% live below the poverty line. And it wasn't really that long ago, even in the Falklands War, where they clearly defeated the British. If you haven't read my paper or or seen my lecture on that topic, there's a reason why they quote-unquote surrendered, despite the fact that the British were absolutely on their last legs there. The point is that they were able to field a first-world military and especially an air force. Racially, it's part of the white world. It's part of the European universe. Now, things collapsed over the last generation, maybe a little more, and that's due to the fact that the country has become massively indebted, which is just another way of saying they become more dependent on the IMF, which is just a consortium of larger banks. Debt means control. Oligarchy needs to pursue their interests. That's why they fought tooth and nail when Putin was going to pay Russia's debt early That was, what, a decade ago? Knowing, and he knew full well they were going to attack him on that. He did it anyway. But Argentina has taken more than 20 huge loans from the IMF, including the largest loan they ever put out, which was $57 billion in 2018. The debt is something like $50 billion as it stands now. And we know the IMF loans are. They come with social revolutionary instructions. They're tied to structural adjustment programs, reducing the standard of living of everybody except those who receive the money. Not just austerity programs, but leftist social issues as well. Concerning the 2018 loan, I wanted to know where that money went. There's a writer, the odd name, I don't know what the heck it is, Sonali Wadoug, I don't know, who did a good article as to where that money went. I'm going to quote him or her, whatever the hell that is. I'm going to quote him this way. 30% of that total loan was used for capital leakage. $53.2 million used to pay off interest accumulated by the IMF's administrative and advisory services. A large chunk of the loan was used simply to pay off interest, and the remainder was to be authorized by the IMF for internal expenses. The government had no choice or ability to do anything, not even build a bridge or a school or a hospital. That loan, in fact, was of no use to it and diminished the living standards of the Argentinians. None of the loans went to the welfare of the poor. It just disappeared. Now, of course, we know that money doesn't disappear. It just changes hands. The IMF even had an office inside Argentina's central bank, and Argentina could do nothing without the IMF's approval and authorization. These loans are taken and enjoyed by a tiny handful of private sector elites and paid back by the working and middle classes through rising prices and taxation, which, by the way, since he likes the IMF, this is also apparently consistent with anarcho-capitalism in his mind. When Macri came to power in 2015, Argentina did not have significant external debt. $70 billion in debt by the end of his rule in late 2019. I'm not going to get a chance to get into it, but the vulture capitalists are to a great extent, responsible for this. So Milei isn't just talking about bringing the IMF in, but bringing in an austerity policy like no one's ever seen before. Total destruction of the social sector, which half the population is dependent upon. Pensions collapse. Healthcare, education systems, drastic, not to mention soaring energy prices. And the difference goes to the major banks and hedge funds. Now, he talks about dismantling the central bank, and everyone's supposed to be very happy about this. It's promoted as a nationalist measure. Listen to me. The Argentinian central bank is 100% owned by the state. He assumes that people don't know this, and talking about it's like abolishing the Fed in his mind. No. The point is to privatize everything, put it in the hands of the Federal Reserve, since he wants to use the dollar, the American dollar, exclusively. To abolish it is to privatize it. Even if he privatized the bank, it would still just be under the Federal Reserve with an extra step. In other words, his whole agenda is phony, and he's phony. The Fed, the U.S., is now dependent on BlackRock, and he will use that backing to launch the harshest austerity program in South American history, and that's saying something. For those of you who don't have my book, The Record of Anti-Communist Military Governments in Latin America, which I put out on Ramada Press in 2019, you'll see how the military has intervened precisely in times like this. Militaries don't take over governments for fun. They do it when the civilian politicians show themselves to be so corrupt that there is no chance of getting out of the severe economic turmoil that they all come to power within. It seems that if the military finally says enough, and it is still a first world military, turning to Russia and China may be their only economic help. Don't forget. As I said, Argentina is supposed to be a member of BRICS just really in a few weeks. Being an eccentric loose cannon is not in and of itself a problem. I like to think of myself as an eccentric loose cannon, among many other things. But in this case, Milei doesn't seem to have any real permanent principles except the profit of the few. He does have a strange preoccupation with cloning his deceased dogs. He has a lot of these weird things. But the mainstream libertarians, really, it revolves around privatization and free trade, really not the individual nonsense that they, individual liberty stuff that they sometimes promote. Now, whether or not he's going to have be able to do this, obviously he's not a dictator, but he will have American banking, and any reaction to him will not have American banking. I talk a lot about fake statistics. Argentina is actually pretty bad in this respect. Given everything I've said, they claim that unemployment's under 10%. Well, I went to a German paper, and this will be ended up a far longer article in the future. It's really between 45 and 50%. That's something else. You know, fake statistics are another import from the U.S. or to Argentina. Now, how bringing the IMF in to completely revolutionize the country? I mean, my God, the recovery that Argentina had came from import substitution. It came from kicking the IMF out. The Ecuadorian experiment was a miserable failure. It's not the first time that total dollarization has occurred in Argentina. And everyone there knows exactly how it panned out. Pretty soon, if he gets his way, and the IMF simply sets up shop there, you know, he does abolish the state-owned central bank, and so Western bankers then come in. He sells off all of the media and broadcasting to, say, you know, Warner Brothers or Disney, they'll be wishing it was late 2023 again. Most bizarre, though, is his belief that connecting himself to the U.S. and Israel is a step towards stability. He can watch. He's not, you know, he's an academic. He has a brain in his head. He's written some otherwise halfway decent papers. Why would he ever want to tie his country's fortunes to this dying regime? The West offers nothing. And of course, he claims he's going to reverse Argentina's membership in BRICS. In other words, he's more than just an eccentric libertarian. He's someone who's been purposely inserted into politics there, who came out of nowhere, very much like in the Zelensky case. No one would honestly vote for these policies, as it wasn't that long ago. The identical policies led to depression. So even if a country recovers, that doesn't mean that the Jewish hedge funds, and I can't get into the vulture capitalist thing here, or the vulture bonds, which can reverse loans being paid back if they're renegotiated. But Argentina was a first world state for a long time. And just like in Ukraine, it will see its economic potential destroyed yet again, so the Jewish banks may prosper from unearned usury. Very much like Ukraine, it used to be one of the Soviet Union's major electronics and industrial centers, is now, well, it doesn't have an economy at all. This is just a matter of short-term, extremely selfish material gain, and if this man's able to do what he does, yet again voluntarily putting the country under direct American and hence liberal control. I want to end here with mentioning when he took his trip to the U.S. He brought in a guy with, you know, both the IMF and Washington, the Treasury, told him to pick Luis Caputo as his Minister of Economy and Finance. He is a Wall Street trader. He worked for J.P. Morgan, Deutsche Bank, and was actually the Minister of Finance from 2017-2018 under Macri. Another man educated in the West that has limited roots in Argentina. But this Wall Street banker now is going to oversee this irrational revolution that his handlers want to see. Another one is Emilio Ocampo, former investment banker, again, very Americanized, seeing high inflation is linked to the high national debt, but his agenda in the past is what caused it that in the first place. Now, it's true that Milei has backed down on some of these, especially on the state-owned central bank, which he wants to hand over to Washington or just destroy entirely, so it would be a direct pipeline into Argentina. But he was, Ocampo and Milei, totally committed to the dollarization plan. It's almost certain that Milei is an agent of Wall Street. But now that he has been elected in very suspicious circumstances, as I mentioned, his party only got a few percent of the vote just in 2021 in the legislative elections, he will be pressured by politicians from his own country. Argentina was dollarized in 2000, and it was an absolute implosion of the economy. 2002 crisis is forgotten, at least in places due north. In 1991, it occurred again. Peso was not replaced, but linked to the dollar at parity. Yes, initially inflation was brought down. There was some FDI that poured into the country. But once the debt gets too high to repay, that same foreign direct investment will leave, and that happens all the time. So you have this neurotic belief that the good times, which are entirely based on debt in this system, will last forever. So then the peso ends up appreciating against everything else. And as the dollar became stronger in the second half of the 1990s, and that led to a depression because it made or it damaged Argentinian exports. And so they had to abandon the dollar in 2002. There you had unemployment at 30-40%. And they've barely recovered since then. It was the rejection of the IMF formula right after that that made the peso a bit weaker. And bringing China in as a trade partner for some of its agricultural products was very important. Import substitution, accessible credit for small businesses, an aggressive plan to improve tax collection, social welfare had large sums sent to it, and you ended up with a trade surplus. You had a budget surplus, started to rebuild its dollar reserves, ended up being the $28 billion, and the debt was repaid in full in 2006. So the anti-IMF methods have been used at a great success. It didn't take long for the U.S. to intervene yet again and start electing other people who would then be a more appropriate conduit for dollars, dollarization, and even buying up distressed debt to profit off it, as if NML Capital Limited did, of course, in the Cayman Islands. And the vulture bonds, which I don't have time to get into, and I may do that topic concerning Argentina this weekend, but I will be publishing a paper on this. So you did have recovery. In other words, this man is aware of what works and what doesn't, and he absolutely wants to promote what does not work, what has not worked in the past, has been tried several times. But maybe he does it a little with a chainsaw and yelling and screaming on stage. Maybe that'll help. All it takes is one corrupt man to bring the debt back up to where it was, even though they had a surplus, 15, 16, 17 years ago. So don't listen to anyone who promotes him, Tucker Carlson, Donald Trump, and really people like this guy because they see the media hates him. But that's as much part of the game as anything else. The media are ignorant, they're mendacious, they're very easy to manipulate. Don't worry about that part of it. It's just the misuse of labels. This man is an unbalanced charlatan. He will drive this country, if he gets his way, to fourth world status. Thank you everyone for listening. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.